Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the World Credit Union Conference here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Look who we have in the studio lounge, Mr. Austin Brown, all the way from Jamaica, right?
All the way from Jamaica.
You are the president and chairman of the board at Community and Workers of Jamaica Cooperative Credit Union. That's congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. That's quite a title. Yes, it is.
Your business card must be that big.
and the workload is just as big, but it is exciting.
Yeah. Well, how's the conference going for you?
The conference this year was better than previous years have been.
Okay.
Well, that's good news because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I was told that this year we had over 3,000
Yes. Yes. And I think it's the biggest one ever.
And I can feel the energy.
Yeah.
You know, last night we were at Grouse Mountain, and it was really fun interacting with so many persons from different countries, hearing their history and listening to the various presentations. I think this particular session here in Vancouver is going to go down as one of the better.
I think so too,
better.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for a more beautiful venue. I mean, once the sun comes out, it's absolutely gorgeous here. But I think I keep calling this conference the grand or the great melting pot, because you get everybody from all over the world coming here, and everyone has the same goals, the same heart for credit unions.
Yes.
We all experience somewhat the same issues and the trends and stuff, but we come at it from a different perspective. So it's really refreshing to talk to folks from Jamaica or Australia or Ireland or wherever, and get a different take on things. Is that kind of what you're finding as well when you talk to folks?
And also What strikes me most is the fact that we have so much in common.
Exactly.
Ideas that we have, others share the same. And so when we come together like this, it's almost like we are in a symphony.
Yeah.
You know, and so I believe this is the opportunity for the credit union movement to galvanize on this engine of thought that we have here, with persons with the right passion, commitment, and use this.
Yeah.
To set up the platform for the next 50 years of the movement.
Ah, well said, well said. And I think, I mean, when you get down to it, we're changing people's lives, you know? You're really changing people's lives. You're having a positive impact on their lives and making them better. So it's always a good thing in anybody's book, for sure.
Yes.
So I want to get to the session that you participated in here, and it was entitled Overcoming the Board Recruitment and Development Dilemma. Now, the first day I interviewed Scott Butterfield, who was the moderator for the panel, and he mentioned you and what you guys are doing in Jamaica in regards to board recruitment and retainment, that type of stuff. So share with me this kind of a unique process that you guys have that you're doing there that's been very successful. So can you share with that? I mean, that might help out other folks, not only in the U.S. for U.S. credit unions, but all over the world for that matter. So share with me what you guys did.
So we took a hard look at the movement and how we have progressed. Our credit union is celebrating its 62nd year of existence, and the movement in Jamaica is over 80 years. But what we have found is that infrastructure, that service delivery model that worked for us to this day, will need to be refreshed, modernized, to deal with the disruptive forces that is coming.
I couldn't agree more,
From the digital transformation. Yep. And we felt that we have to start at the board. We have to be very deliberate about the leadership at the top that will set the vision, that will set the strategy, that will show the direction of the movement and the credit union, my credit union in particular, for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We also recognize that information comes to us at the speed of light, but we process it at the speed of man.
I love that.
So we are the bottleneck. We are the bottleneck, and unless we transform ourselves, the credit union movement is at risk of being left behind. And so we took a hard look and say, we have to look deliberately at how we manage the board from what I call from selection to retirement. And every step of the way, we believe there has to be a very carefully crafted plan to ensure that the entire board experience, mm-hmm. from onboarding to when you retire, mm-hmm. is in keeping with the vision of the credit union movement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when I looked across the movement, we saw persons who were serving on boards for upward of 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. But we are in an information world where 5 years is a lifetime.
Got that right.
And change is coming at us so rapidly, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you need board members who are always at their peak performance to stay ahead of the pace that is coming at us.
Right, right.
And so I came up with what I invented and called the 7-step process of the board life cycle.
All right.
I was invited to share at a leadership development program, and I wanted to come up with something to share with the board members there. And I did some research and I came up with this plan.
Okay.
Starts out with, first of all, having a pool of candidates, mm-hmm. who will be the potential board members. And this pool will be a diverse pool with, you know, diversity with age, experience, gender, and all the attributes that we need to keep balance and focus, mm-hmm. on a modern, mm-hmm. forward-looking board. But more importantly, we recognize also that some persons, when they come onto the board, they are fairly new. They have no experience, yeah. with governance and how board operates. And so for the first 2 or 3 years of their tenure, it is more a learning. However, in keeping with the concept that we believe we need to keep the board agile and active,
yeah.
we felt it may be good to, while persons have given their willingness to serve and are waiting to serve, mm-hmm. we will start training them before they come onto the board.
Good idea, good idea.
So by the time they are ready to be nominated and selected, they would have done all the necessary training and development, because they would have said, yes, I want to be included in this pool of potential board members. Mm-hmm. And so we'll take them through a process of training and development that will ensure that by the time they are selected, from day one, they'll start adding value. And so we believe that is the entry point. So when you come on, we do additional training, like getting you into the actual engagement, mm-hmm. as we're doing here, mm-hmm. to see the live operation of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step after the training, that is after the recruitment and the training, would be what we call the retention phase. And the retention phase is that we recognize that talent is short at the board level especially. And it is important that we create an environment that will make the voluntary experience as rich as possible.
Yeah.
So coming to these sessions,
yeah.
and networking with your peers, you know, we have the Caribbean Confederation of Credit Union, mm-hmm. Movement that has a similar program like this that allows new board members to network with their colleagues,
mm-hmm.
to learn from speakers and persons like yourself who want to share their experiences on the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for the new board members to,
right.
to get themselves into the movement and the workings of the credit union.
Right, right.
And while you're there, we also say, well, let's just examine and evaluate how this has worked for you. Because someone may come on the board and they will say, well, I'm only willing to serve probably 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
and after that I'm done.
Right.
So we will do an annual assessment,
mm-hmm.
that will determine whether or not you're still fully committed and available.
Yeah. Oh.
Because one of the challenges that we have found on the board is that persons come on boards after, while being on several other boards, and especially also running probably an office as a CEO, mm-hmm. or a senior manager,
mm-hmm.
which is very demanding.
Yeah.
And so we believe that coming on a board is not just to physically show up, but to be present. Present not just in your body, but present in your mind,
yeah.
present in your commitment, mm-hmm. present in your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So that when critical decisions are needed, or insights and strategies, you are fully present.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yep. But what we have found is that there are board members who I consider to be overboarded.
Overburdened?
Overboarded.
Overboarded?
Yes. Because they are stretched too thin.
I get it, okay. I get it. I like that term.
Diminishing return.
Yeah, yeah.
So what that means is that instead of you coming on board, you know, with, you know, probably a few other extra activities, you would have been on 5 or 6 more boards.
Yeah.
And every board may have you on 3 or 4 more committees. So if you're to multiply, say, even 5 boards, with about 4 committees per board member, mm-hmm. plus your day job,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you see all that mushroom into
that's too much.
Yes. But there are many board members coming and currently serving on boards with even more on their plate.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sure if you do a survey, you'll see that. And so what is happening in the global governance space is that they're looking to see what is the optimal amount of board that a person should serve on to be
yeah.
truly effective and add value to the organization.
Right.
Because studies, I think there was an Harvard study done by some researchers that found that companies with members who are overboarded start showing diminishing returns over time. To the mm-hmm. extent that some companies will say no more than 3 boards in addition to your day job,
so,
you're
yeah.
allowed.
I would think so.
But the culture of being on a board is seen as a badge of honor that you want to show on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on all these
yeah.
boards.
Yeah.
But in this new dispensation of how the fast pace of information, as I said before to you, information is coming to us at the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
We are processing it at the speed of man.
Yeah.
So when you show up at the board meeting with all those decisions coming to you that you need to make accurately, and the responsibilities that come and the accountabilities of being a board member,
mm-hmm.
you see that this is not something to be taken lightly.
Right.
And so you have to be committed and also be available to truly be effective in this new dispensation.
Right. And the board, as you well know, sets the tone
yes.
for the rest of the organization.
Right.
So in order to do that, everybody has to be, like you said, fully present
yes.
and fully committed
yes.
to that commitment.
All right.
So yeah.
And so we believe that is a key criteria. So when we do the assessment, if it found out that you're not as effective because probably you have too many responsibilities
mm-hmm.
and so much from, then mm-hmm. we would believe it, we reserve the right to say we will not probably put you forward for renewal because you probably are not fully committed right now. Probably
right.
when you are, you may
you're
come
overboarded.
Back. Correct.
And overburdened.
Exactly. And then it's not good for you because
no.
if you come to the board stressed out,
yeah.
then that will reflect in the decision making
yeah.
that you make at
yeah.
the board level. And the organization soon will start to show that
mm-hmm.
performance
mm-hmm.
as well. And so we believe after we've done the assessment, then we start to do what we call the succession planning. Because we would have known that you're here to serve, say, 6 years
mm-hmm.
or so.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're approaching that time, we believe that it's no time for that knowledge to be transferred.
Yeah.
So if you look at my presentation, you see there is a closed loop
mm-hmm.
where once you have done this, the succession planning, then we do what we call the graceful retirement. And retirement is not retirement to go through a revolving door and come all the way back
right,
again.
Right.
But retirement in the sense that you would have served a long and fruitful career. And you can now make yourself available to serve in other capacities
mm-hmm.
in the movement.
Mm-hmm.
But then you allow those persons who are waiting in the pool, already trained and ready,
mm-hmm.
to give their perspective to keep that board a living, flowing, fresh
yeah,
organization. I mean,
this is a really cool cycle
yes.
that you've created, you know,
yes.
and it keeps the board
fresh.
Oh my gosh, yeah, fresh.
Because you have to be fresh to
yeah.
be successful in
yeah.
this current dispensation.
Yeah.
Because
you need
if you think
that.
About it, man, if you are an athlete and you're at the top of your game, that's when you will get the gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at any professional athlete, once you're starting to see decline, that's when performance tentacle.
Right.
So we believe that we have to take that same level of focus to how we manage the board engagement process as I've outlined. Because you want to catch people at their peak.
Right.
Not in their decline. Right. Because when you're in the decline, that shows in the quality of your output.
But that's the time when that person can mentor the next
and that is
great athlete, so to speak, or the next great board member.
And that's what I'm saying. Now, when you've served,
based on that experience,
you would go into coaching some of those young who are coming onto the board now and give them all that knowledge. So when they do come on, they are ready.
Yeah.
But what we find sometimes, though, is that some persons don't want to leave the board. So what you have now is a bottleneck, where no one can come on because people are not coming off.
Right.
And so by the time, especially if you're trying to recruit for young people, by the time the young people get a chance to serve, they're already old.
Exactly, they're not young anymore.
And they've passed the prime of their peak performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what you're getting now are people who have started to show to be on the decline curve. And as I said, for organization to be effective, you have to have people, not just at the board, but in management and in staff, who are operating at their optimal. Because we are going to be competing very soon with artificial intelligence that will not suffer from fatigue or tiredness or all the issues that we suffer. And as a business, we may be competing with machines and people, and we still are expected to be on top of our game. So I believe the movement is at a place now where we need to really look at our service delivery model, to look at our governance model, to see how future-proof this is, how fit and proper it is, to ensure that this movement will still continue to do the great things that we're doing, the things that the world needs. If you look at the values that the credit union movement stands for, these are the things that the world needs now.
I agree.
Yes.
And the thing that keeps coming to my mind when you're talking are term limits.
Yes.
Should there be term limits?
Yes.
Say 6 to 7, 8 years or something like that?
So you
can have this fresh turnover?
Yes. We recently had our AGM this year, and we introduced a change in our term limits from 6 years to 9 years. Because if you look at corporate governance policies now in different countries, they're thinking that after 9 years, that's the time when you should step down on any board. And not to step down to return, but that's when you should step down.
Sure, sure.
So if you think about it, 9 years is a long time for you to be serving. And if you cannot add value in that time, then certainly you don't belong.
Think about the knowledge that you can hand down to the next generation of board members based on that 9 years of board experience.
Yes.
You know, I mean, gosh, what a gold mine of knowledge to pass on to the next generation.
And that cycle is always fresh because there is a predictability to when people will be coming.
Yeah.
Not when you're waiting on someone to die before you can get a vacancy to serve.
Yeah.
And so that model that served the credit union movement in the past may have worked.
Yeah.
But in this current dispensation, where knowledge has a shelf life, and we also have a shelf life, we have to be very deliberate about how we manage the human capital and the knowledge resources that we have in the movement so that we can maximize the value for our members.
So my last question to you, Austin, is based on this experience, based on this process that you've developed, what is your advice to credit unions out there, no matter what country, as far as keeping that board fresh, keeping that board at peak level, as you say?
My advice to credit union movement around the world is there are times to have some uncomfortable conversations. I call it the turn off the mic moments. When you may ruffle some feathers, but we are about people helping people.
Right.
People helping people to be their best. People helping people to realize their goals. People helping people to have new ideas. People helping people to leave a lasting legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, it may be disruptive.
Yeah.
It may upset some people who may not embrace that thinking.
Yeah.
But this is not about the now. It's about positioning ourselves for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
And so I would say that at the board level, we may need to have that hard talk. People may look and say, am I really adding value?
Mm-hmm.
I've been here for 20, 30 years.
Yes.
I am not a digital native like the millennials that I'm working with. Can I truly be setting policies for them, when I wasn't born in this in this era. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Should I be making way for the next generation now,
right,
who will stand on my shoulder and put this movement through the cloud, mm-hmm, for the next century to come?
Well, and credit unions are trying to get younger membership wise, yes, as well. So when you have kind of a younger, I'm not saying the entire board should be young,
yes,
but when you have, you know, certain members who are young, that reflects on your membership as well. So yeah, so there's so much,
it's
so much upside to
planting.
This.
You're planting the seeds now,
mm-hmm,
for the reaping to come down the road.
Yep.
It may not look productive now, but decades later people will say, wow, this is that tree that was planted that looks so insignificant.
Exactly.
And look at it as blossom to become.
Exactly, plan for the future, for sure.
And that is what we're doing is about.
Good for you.
It's planting and knowing when it is time to reap, when it is time to make way for the next season and the next one.
Love it, love it. Oh my gosh, awesome. This is such great stuff. Thank you so much. Anything else to add to wrap up here before I let you, looks like the whole conference is coming out here, before I let you get back to...
I just want to say to everyone here that, you know, use this opportunity to network and interact with as much persons as you can. Life is short,
yep,
and we're only here for a season at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us will never see each other again after this. And so let your interaction be, yes, one that adds value.
Exactly.
Let someone go away with something that you told them that they will remember, mm-hmm, for a long time.
Yep.
Because that's what we're about as people. To engage, to help each other, and to make this world a better place.
Exactly. You had nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yes.
You know, by tapping into all the different knowledge bases here, so for sure. All right, Austin, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the
opportunity. Appreciate the time, and oh my gosh, what a cool story, what a great process you guys have developed.
Thank you very much.
And I hope some other folks kind of take it to heart as well.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff.
Our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.